You've never been so quiet.
What's happened? Good morning, everyone.
Morning, David.
Welcome to you all to our service this morning, and welcome to those who will be watching online, either this morning or later in the day. Now, there's some very important things that need to be dealt with right up front, and I have to let you know that it was David Pryor's birthday yesterday.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear David. Happy birthday to you.
Ah, dear. I told him he'd be sorry he told me that this morning. Today, the theme of today's service is faith is like an athlete. And in Hebrews chapter 12, we read this. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. The older I get, the harder I find it is to run. But I'll keep trying nonetheless, faithfully speaking. Back in 2018, we taught you a new song. So if you were here sometime during 2018, you would have learned a song called May Our Lives, and that has in the second verse, it reflects the plea to God, help me know and trust your grace, grant me strength to run the race. So for those of you who might remember it, it'll come back if you were here sometime during 2018, but you'll pick it up fairly easy. I think it's an easily sung song. So let's stand. We're going to sing verse 1 twice, just so you get the idea of how the verses, and then we'll go into the chorus.
I lay down my life today to follow Jesus' holy way. Lord, to you my life I give. Jesus, please show me how to live.
Give it a try. I lay down my life.
I lay down my life this day to follow Jesus' holy way. Lord, to you my life I give. Jesus, please show me how to live. May my life bring you glory. May my life tell your story. Steadfast in my Lord and King. Lord, to you my life I bring. Jesus our Lord, we proclaim you living word. We offer you our sacrifice, our lives laid down in Jesus Christ. Oh, I stumble and I fall. Lord, to you I give my all. Help me know and trust your grace. Grant me strength to run the race. story. May our life tell your story. Set fast in our Lord and King. Lord, to you our life we bring. We extol you, Jesus our Lord. We proclaim you living word. We offer you our sacrifice. Our life laid down in Jesus Christ. We extol you, Jesus our Lord. We proclaim you living word. We offer you our sacrifice. Our lives laid down in Jesus Christ. Offer you our sacrifice. Our life laid down. Our life laid down. Our life laid down in Jesus Christ. We lay down our lives this day. Follow Jesus' holy way. Lord, to you our lives we give. Jesus, please show us how to live.
Lord God, we praise you and thank you. The gift of life. And Lord, we stand before you today and acknowledge that we don't always succeed in life. We fail, we sin, we fall short. And yet, we continue to journey with you such that we can sing those words, lay down our lives before you. To know and to trust your grace. We pray, Lord, that you would indeed help each one of us to run this race set before us every day. We give you all the honor and praise and thanks and glory. Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Who can know the mind of our Creator? Who can speak the wonders yet unseen? Who can reach the height of understanding to play the notes of wisdom's melody? Who has weighed the dust of every mountain? Who has walked the mysteries of the deep? Who has laid the earth on its foundation? And who conducts the waves upon the sea? I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you, so glorious and true. I stand in awe, I stand in awe. You have seen the end from the beginning. You have been before the world began. You have reached to me within my darkness, and in the light of mercy now I see. I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. So glorious and true. I stand in awe. I stand in awe. I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you, so glorious and true. I stand in awe, I stand in awe. Who can know the mind of our Creator?
Please be seated. As our prayer of praise today, I'm going to read to you from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 to 31. I invite you to listen as I read this. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. God does not faint or grow weary. God's understanding is unsearchable. God gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Let's pray. Lord, there are times, if we're honest, we feel like we've been in a race or playing a game of footy forever. We feel so tired, despondent. We see others streaming ahead of us. We feel like we're just making up the numbers as everybody gets further and further out of our reach or the score gets beyond us. At times like this, we simply want to give up. We're tired, anxious, maybe grumpy. Lord, today we pause and remember faith and life is not about winning. It's about being in the race. It's putting a foot, one foot in front of the other. The words of Isaiah come back to us. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Lord, we hear these words of hope. We draw them in. We grasp them. Those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. So we wait. I invite you in this time of relative quiet to open yourselves to God's strength in your weariness and tiredness. Open yourself. Wait for the Lord. Let those words be a truth for you. Let the Spirit of God fill your weary lives. Holy Spirit, come and fill us again today. Fill us every hour of this day. Every day of this week, every week of this month, every month of this year, every year of our lives, come and fill us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the people said,
This morning's reading is from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 7, a good soldier of Christ Jesus. You then, my child, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me through many witnesses, entrust to faithful people who will be able to teach others as well. Share in the suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving in the army gets entangled in everyday affairs. The soldier's aim is to please the enlisting officer. And in the case of an athlete, no one is crowned without competing according to the rules. It is the farmer who does the work who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in all things. This is the word of the Lord.
So if the children would like to come down the front, it's time for Dave's dodgy drawings. Woohoo! Okay, well, I'll persist in it. Hey, look, I thought today we're talking about athletes. We're talking about bodies. Now, let me draw you a man's body or a normal body like this. So we've got a head, shoulders, biceps. Dave's dodgy drawing, I did tell you after all. Nice, there's that. And then normally they've got big ribs there. And some feet, something like that. All right. Looks like he's wearing flippers. So this is called your outer man or your outer person or your outer woman. If you're a woman, you'd look something different, thankfully. So that's the outer. Now, what sort of things make up your outer? How do you grow your outer body? Like if I was to draw a woman, they'd have their body too. What do you do to grow your outer body? What do you do every morning? Okay, I'm happy to take hints from the floor. So did you at some stage this morning eat? Okay, well, to grow your outer body, you need to eat, don't you? What other things do you need to do? Drink. Someone said drink. What else do you need to do? Sleep. Someone said sleep. Yes. What other things do you need to grow your body? Exercise, someone said. All right. Yeah, we're on a roll now. Exercise. I'll even take one more. What do you reckon? Sam, any other things? Eating, drinking, sleeping, working, that'll do. And for some people like you, young fella, school, exercise your brain. All right, school. Now, I'm going to be talking about something else that looks a little bit different. So, that is our inner person. So we have an outer and an inner. Now, we have to grow our inner person as well. So what would an inner person look like, Sam? Any ideas? We all have an inner person. How do you grow your inner person? Any ideas? I mean, I don't know either. It's a confusing thing. Well, growing. Sometimes. What's that? Okay, so the outer ones you could apply to your inner self. So I like what you're thinking. So how do we exercise our inner self? What sort of things do we do? Do we think? Do we have emotions? What do we do?
Emotions and thinking would be exercising your inner person.
Okay, I like that. So we've got emotions and we've got thinking. What other things happen inside us that are really important? So is faith something that's an outside or an inside? Inside, all right. So faith is inside. What other things are inside? So thinking, emotions, faith. So how do we grow this stuff on the inside? How do we make the inside look like that massive? It's an interesting question, isn't it? I wish I had an easy answer that I could draw. But, so part of it is
when we know this stuff has to grow, it's easy. We look at our outside. I've met some people who are massive, but their inside person, when something goes wrong, they fall over and crumble. What we want to do is we want to make our inside person massive. I've met some really small people who are just massive inside. Things go wrong and they just fall over and they get up. And there's some things that we say that help us. Our faith is something that we say helps grow our inside. God, what sort of things help? We talk about it all the time, don't we? We've done some this morning. We've done some singing. We've done some praying. That's good suggestion. Yeah? So singing and praying is like exercising, isn't it? In a man, in a woman, exercise. See, one of the things we talk about with faith is that in life, Sammy, things go wrong. And when things go wrong, that's when our inner man or woman needs to be doing some work. And part of what that inner woman or inner man does is we bring the things we learn about God and love and all those hard things, and we bring it to that life experience. And we bring the love that God gives us and fills us and gives us hope. And this is what grows our inner person. Let me say a prayer for you and us, and we'll continue growing our stuff here this morning. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for life. We thank you that every day we're breathing is a good day. And we ask that every day we're breathing, we continue to grow our faith and love and trust in you, so that when the hard times come, our inner person can continue to grow and trust in you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So if you're wondering today why I'm so making so much sense, it's because I'm a year older, as David indicated earlier. And so that's a great thing. I'm looking forward to being as old as some of you, because I'll be just so much more wiser and smarter. I'm looking forward to it. It's very exciting. Look, one of the things for the notices is, for those online, I don't think you'll get this live, because technology being one of the things, I think the whole Google system is offline or web's going berserk. So when you join us, welcome. One of the things we're trying to do as a church is grow stronger through this period. So grow stronger through COVID-19. Now, what does that mean? What does that look like? That's a really good question. And if you've really got some good ideas, I'd love to hear them. What does growing stronger through COVID-19 look like for this church? For your small group? For your activities? For your family? For your lives? I don't know. I'd be very interested. Because that's something we need to be doing. Because, you know, this social distancing stuff we're doing now might be lasting a long time. Like, we might be this size church for another 8 months, another year. Who knows? So how are we going to grow stronger through this period? Good question, isn't it? And I need your brains to be working on this stuff. Because the leaders team's about 7 or 8 people. And we've really got 170 people in the church. So we need to get people's brains working on this stuff. And so please do. And send me an email. And I look forward to that. Okay, David, over to you. Thank you, brother.
I'm going to sing quite an old hymn, Take My Life and Let It Be. I'm sure some of you, most of you, will know it. But I would describe it as a very challenging hymn. The words, there's an aspect of life for each of the 6 verses. Take my life, take my hands, take my voice, take my silver and my gold. Take my will, take my love, is verse 6. And the most challenging of those 6 verses for me are verses 4 and 5. Take my silver and my gold. The implication of that is take everything that I have, because everything I have is actually a gift from God anyway. But take my will. The biggest challenge I have in life is my will. Who's got a will that likes to be actively at work and sometimes interferes with what you're doing? Come on, you can own up, surely. Am I the only one? Let's sing together. Remain seated, if you would, please.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them go in Jesus' praise.
Please join me as we pray for others. Loving Heavenly Father, it brings us joy to be together in your church. Blessed to be able to worship together now. We lift to you those who are unable to be with us today, and we gather them in our hearts as we pray for others. As our lives continue to be impacted by the coronavirus, we ask for your healing power to be poured out on our world to bring peace and hope. We pray for all who work tirelessly to aid healing and wholeness. May they be given energy and support to meet the many needs. And Lord, bless them for the healing and hope they bring. As we in Australia are finding a way forward with hope, help us to remember those who still need our support. Give them discernment and wisdom to be open to your guiding hand. And we pray for our governments, both federal and state, that they may guide us with wisdom. And Lord, we pray for America, struggling with the pandemic and searching for the best way forward with elections ahead. We pray that you will pour out your Holy Spirit on their land, that wisdom will point them to a loving Heavenly Father who longs to bring them peace. Grant them courage, grant them peace. And Lord, as families travel home from the holidays this weekend, grant them patience and understanding, aware of the need to take extra care. We pray that all will return safely, and we pray for the students as they return to school, especially for the year 12s as they face final exams, which will give them priorities for their futures. And Lord, we ask that you watch over us, your people. Help us to find ways to show the depths of your love, your forgiveness, and your grace to people who need guidance towards a new start. Lord, you know us individually. You know the gifts you have given us. Help us to use our gifts to enable others to know of your love for them. And Lord, all of us know a person or persons who need a special touch of your love today. We name them silently before you now. Come, Holy Spirit, and bring a blessing their way. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour, we pray. Amen.
Yes, Lord, as we ponder and reflect on the words we've listened and sung already, we ask your Spirit's insight to stir us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So last week we were talking about faith being like a soldier, weren't we? And we're talking about that shared suffering that Paul was talking about. And one of the key things that was a real focus was how there was a mateship. Soldiers talk about mateship. And part of the invitation Paul was talking to Timothy about was sharing in the suffering. Empathy and compassion. Empathy and compassion as being critical parts, because we're all experiencing the same stuff in different ways. That's just human life. It's been in a pandemic, and here we are. So today's image, Paul is familiar with as much as he was the soldier, because faith like an athlete was something that they were familiar with, because the Olympic Games had been running for 500 years. And in the ancient times, every 4 years, the Olympic Games came around, and people were training towards that. And the Olympics were really a special event. And here's some pottery, a pottery which depicts running in the Olympics. And that's thousands of years old. And again, it's that key event. And even when I think of Olympics today, running is one of those things. Usain Bolt, you know, that 100-meter dash. It's almost the pinnacle, isn't it, of the racing for men or women. That sprint at the end. Now, in the old days, in Paul's time, there were a lot of events. There was running, boxing, and even when Paul was writing, Emperor Nero, AD 67, entered in the chariot racing. And they had 8 horses and a chariot. And Nero won the Olympics in chariot racing, even though he fell out of the chariot. So, obviously, he must have had his legions positioned somewhere in Greece just to remind them that he was going to win anyway. I don't know. It was just a funny thing. So how do you fall out of a chariot and still win? I've got no idea. Maybe it's first horse over the line. Anyway, he won. So he was a winner. You can imagine. No, I won't go there. All right. Current politics aside, you could imagine certain individuals in our current world environment doing the same sort of thing, couldn't you? Like maybe getting COVID-19 or coronavirus and waxing lyrical about how he's impervious. We won't go there either. But a metaphor for being an athlete. It's an amazing thing. Athletes. But we know it's not simply physical, is it? How many of you, when you were younger, felt like you at least qualified to be an athlete or something? You did some running or moved in a way that you couldn't do now. All right, thank you very much. I'm sure I was going to get there eventually. And for those young of us, keep going, girl. So it's really an interesting thing, isn't it, that an athlete is not simply about being physical. It's a whole pile of other stuff, isn't it? Because you've got your training, you've got your psychological, you've got your injuries, you've got all this other stuff that contributes to an athlete and what an athlete is and how an athlete works, like a soldier and like a farmer.
Each has a particular quality or character that contributes to faith. Now, as an athlete, there are no shortcuts. Now, I've never really been a serious athlete. The best I ever did was A-grade reserves lacrosse for Glenelg. So I had a couple of A-grade games for Glenelg, but that's it. You know, like that's if I had to be an athlete, that's probably as close as I got. And unfortunately, you don't become an athlete by sitting on a couch. And it'd be nice if you could just watch a program on being an athlete, and suddenly you would be. It'd be sensational, wouldn't it? You know, you could download something and suddenly you could run or jump or, you know, shoot basketballs or hit a golf ball. Man, wouldn't that be worth millions? Or hit a tennis ball. Just imagine if you could just do that. But we know that being an athlete is actually a lot of work. A lot of pre-season training. A lot of conditioning for your body that goes into being an athlete. You have to get your muscles used to the repetitive strain and the reaction, the capacity to respond quickly. And it also involves dealing with losses. Now, I hate to mention this, but if you're a Collingwood supporter or a St Kilda supporter, you would not be very happy this week. Dealing with losses, however, is something that athletes have to do. Not simply the winning. And it's a bit like that inner man. What I was trying to do today with the outer man, outer woman, inner woman, is that there's a lot of stuff that goes in, how we process all our failures, our successes, that contribute to our ability to perform. And there's one guy who I'll show you a picture of. This guy on the right, he's 6'8". And he was king of the mountain for boxing. His name was Tyson Fury. And he went by the nickname of Gypsy King. Now, he won a whole pile of titles and then just lost his way. Became an alcoholic, took drugs, got busted, and basically lost all the titles he had. So he's 6'8". And after that, when he lost all his titles, he became depressed, and so he put on an extra 60 kilograms. So he was about 180 kilograms. He's not that weight there, but you can imagine just how massive he became. He spiraled into self-destructive patterns of drug and alcohol addiction and abuse, and he even contemplated suicide. The nickname Gypsy King was something that he'd gained, and as he ballooned to 181 kilograms, in October 2017, he finally got to the point where he just broke down and started praying. He prayed for recovery, for redemption, for his life to turn around. And over that next year, he lost 60 kgs. So he's about 120 kgs in his fighting weight right there. And this is what he said. After everything I've been through, mental health problems, drug addiction, alcohol addiction, I'm back. I've defeated all the ills. How am I going to let somebody beat me with a pair of boxing gloves on? Now, this picture is his return fight against Wilder, where he was going for a title. And he was in front, leading until the 12th round, where he got knocked down. And in the end, the fight was called a draw. And while he didn't win, he felt a winner. Because from where he'd been and where he'd got to, was a transformation of his life. He considered himself a winner. And look, and I guess really for many athletes, it's as it is for soldiers, it's the injuries that are the things that are hardest. It's a bit like, you know, when life's going well, we don't think about it much, do we? It's when things are not going well that everything stops. Life's not simple. It's full of challenges. Sometimes they're inflicted by ourselves, other times inflicted by others, and sometimes just random. If things are going wrong in your life, well, welcome to the human race. The Bible is full of examples of things that went wrong for people. Life is full of the unpredictable, grief and loss. Do we like it? No, I don't know about you, but I don't like it. I do not enjoy it. Do we wish our lives were better? Yes, we do. Aren't we being identified for special treatment? No, it's, I understand that as life is unpredictable. That's just life. The nature of life is just unpredictable. It's hard, and it's always been hard. And while we've been sheltered in South Australia, we're part of the world. And so all of us have felt stirred emotionally this year. Many of us have stopped and thought, well, why am I doing this? Some people have left the building, like seriously. And others have been invigorated in this time when they've had to rethink why they are doing what they're doing. So all of us have had our emotions stirred, even though we're not living in America, Europe, Afghanistan, or Africa. We've all had our lives stirred. And one of the things about emotions is emotions are powerful things, aren't they? They are amazing, wonderful things because they let us know things are important that are going on. My favorite quote, I'm not sure if I made this up or not. If I did, I'm a legend. If I didn't, well, I'm just a plagiarist. But I won't tell if you won't. Often I say to people, emotions are great. They let you know that things are important, but you never let them drive the bus because they're terrible drivers and they take you to places you never wanted to go. Think about it. Emotions. How many times have you felt emotionally stirred or angry or upset? Imagine if you allowed those emotions to drive your life. Where do you end up? Not many of us end up in a good place. Because emotions are powerful and they take us to places we think back and think, man, I never expected to be here and I wish I'd maybe not. So part of the inner man, inner woman work is recognizing that emotions are telling us something important, but then to say, hey, okay, thank you, let me drive. You go down the back of the bus, play some Xbox or something else. Let me do the driving. We have to process our emotions. And the Sunday Mail, which you may or may not have had a chance to read, Fitzy was talking about, for him, this year has been horrendous, and the death of his dog triggered a sense of real grief, and he realized that he had to start talking about what was going on for him. And he's a fellow South Australian, living in South Australia, enduring what we're enduring. And his invitation is, we've got to talk about this stuff. And again, it's recognizing emotions are powerful, but we can't let them drive the bus. And we have examples of athletes who just seriously let their emotions drive the bus. I was watching the news during the week and there was a go-kart race. You know, little go-karts. And this guy got bumped off the course or something. And there's a picture of him standing on the side of the racetrack while all these go-karts are zing, zing, picks up this bumper bar and throws it into the middle of the go-karts. Trying to hit somebody. He's a crap throw, so fortunately he didn't hit anybody. But it could have been potentially dangerous. And there's another shot of him running into the pits. And there's another young kid, I don't know how old the kid was, fixing up his go-kart, looks up, and there's this big guy just goes, boom. He lost his stuff. Or Dokic, the tennis player, you know, loses his crap, hits the ball, and hits a woman in the throat, one of the Lions women. He's disqualified from the US Open. He could have won that. I mean, how many other athletes have we seen seriously lose it? McEnroe is my favorite. Well, in an embarrassing sort of way. Are you serious? You know, Mac and Hoag's was my favorite. You know, Paul Hogan did such a wonderful rip-off of that. But again, I show my age. I mean, people, athletes, can lose it, can't they? They just absolutely lose it. And our inner person, this inner faith, is what tries to speak to us when we are most stirred and perplexed. Faith is built for the hard time. The Bible is full of promises of God's presence with us in hardship, not in luxury, not sitting down on the island having a martini or whatever it is they have. You know what I mean. The Bible is a record of God at work in hardship, not in luxury and pleasure. That's why it's such a significant thing. You know, we think, you know, the last year's been tough, but when we think about the people of Israel who had 40 years in the desert eating the same food. I mean, I have muesli every morning, but I'm not sure I could do muesli breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I love curry. I'm not sure I could do curry breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Manna from heaven, people of Israel, 40 years, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Oh, well, what are we having tonight? Ooh, wild guess, manna. You know, so what is hardship and suffering? It varies, doesn't it? And Paul is really trying to say, hey, there have been lots of ways in which we've been impacted in life. Emotions have been stirred, people have been impacted, and it often comes down to us questioning our why. Why are we doing this? How does this apply to us? And if you're thinking, well, nothing's changed for me really this year, it's a bit like my story of being deployed last week, where I didn't know how anxious I was until I was actually out of Afghanistan. And I think none of us will truly understand how anxious we are until this COVID vaccine comes in and it's different. So if you're feeling stirred emotionally, I'm not surprised. I've felt stirred this year. And that's normal for what we're doing and going through. So, yeah, again, it's emotions are trying to tell us stuff. It's really important. And Paul is trying to speak to Timothy. Now, I'm not sure if Timothy had lost his stuff. Maybe Timothy, the young leader he was talking to, maybe he had lost and done a McEnroe or a Dokich or a, you know, maybe he'd just spat the chewy, thrown his toys out of the cot. Maybe he'd just let his emotions overwhelm him and said, this faith stuff is too hard. Paul said, look, faith is like being a soldier. Yeah, you suffer. We share in it. Faith is like being an athlete. Man, it's like the training, the hardship, the overcoming the injuries, you know, the hamstring that keeps you out of the grand final. It's the hamstring that stops you running or training. It's the whatever it might be. It's a beautiful, rich image that Paul is trying to get us to think about. Paul is trying to remind Timothy not to give up, to keep going. That failure, disappointment are all a part of life. It's what we do when we're confronted with it that makes a difference. So, how does this apply to our lives? Well, I wonder, how's your training program going? If you had to think of yourself as an athlete, now, okay, recognizing your age, that's okay, but the metaphor still lives on, doesn't it? I mean, you currently got an injury. Metaphorically, again, like, how's your faith traveling? How are you traveling within yourself? It's an interesting idea, isn't it? Are you on the bench? Have you lost your cool and you need some time out? Have you been shown the red card? Like maybe they're doing soccer. Have you given yourself the red card? I mean, how are you traveling in this stuff? Isaiah said, but those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Without awareness, we cannot change. So here's a little quiz. We've got the finish line there. I've got two questions. Name one thing that has worked well for you, your life, your faith in 2020. And the other thing is, what is one area you need to work on or have a different approach to? You know, they say definition of insanity is keep doing the same thing and trying to get a different outcome. Are there things you need to sustain, keep doing? Are there things you need to change up? Just got a moment to think on that. As the band comes back up, I'll share a prayer. Holy Spirit, we thank you for the way in which you are present with us in our whole lives, the good, the bad, and the ugly, the fast, the slow, the injured, whatever the case may be. We open our lives to you once again to be refreshed by your Spirit, to be invigorated with your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Mm-hmm.
Please stand.
The heavens declare the glory of God, and all of the earth will join the praise His wonders proclaim. The oceans and skies lift up their voice, and all He has made will rise to bless the King of all kings. Let us adore Him, let us adore Him, Jesus Christ is the Lord. Eternity's King is coming again. The earth will fade away, His truth will remain. Let us adore Him, let us adore Him, Jesus Christ is the Lord. Come and behold Him, bow down before
not known, have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. God does not faint or grow weary. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. So may you go into this world this week and know the love of God is with you to strengthen you and sustain you. And remember, as we continue in this time of this season, our motto, phone a friend. So be proactive. Ring somebody. Go out for a coffee. Choose life. See and search for the meaning, the hope that there is. Because you can't get the virus over the phone, but you can pass on God's love. And that fundamentally is our call. So go in peace to serve the Lord in whatever way you can. Amen.